Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out.
He will literally stick his entire tongue inside of my mouth.
Wow.
And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Right, right. That is weird. Okay, well, kissing, I've got a good hack for you.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. Ever want to know what really goes down in your girlfriend's group chat? Well, today you'll find out when I'm joined by Chelsea, Glynn, and Sade, the hosts of the podcast Black Girls Texting. We explore sex dreams, what it's like to have a threesome with your best friend, and the art of sending nudes. We answer questions and discuss cultural stereotypes, manscaping, pre-gaming sex, and the power of setting sexual intentions. Okay, everyone, I hope you enjoy the show. Well, I'm really excited to have you here, Black Girls Texting Podcast. So I'm talking to Chelsea, Glenn, and Sade, and they have a podcast. They started Black Girls Texting, which started from a group chat. Is that it? You guys have been friends for a while. Is
yeah,
that it?
We're all okay. From Brooklyn, grew up together, and, you know, all the good stuff goes down in the group chat, from dating and sex advice, but also to, like, how do I ask for a raise at work? And did you see that stuff that's going down on the news? Or,
right.
Like, something wild that's happening in pop culture. And we, like, the group chat is our place to sound off. So we decided to open up those conversations. We
just like
let it all hang out.
Yeah, exactly. It's like hanging out with you in a week, like all the thoughts, all the things that go through your mind. And it's really tapping into what a lot of us are feeling right now, especially like young women, I guess all women, but in your age, and you're all in your 20s, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, you know, at the top of every show, I set an intention. And I heard that you might be interested in setting one with me, which I love.
Yes.
So, and that also helps our listeners know. So what would make you feel good if this is over? Would you learn? What our listeners learn?
Yeah, I think we all have separate needs. We're in different places in our relationships and sex lives. But for me, it is being more vocal in the boudoir.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So Sade, it's being more vocal about what you want, or just like using your, like, making moans?
Oh no, that I'm fine.
That, that's, yeah, I got that.
That's not an issue for her.
We're soundproofed, but it's more
we're
like
soundproofed. What I, like, want, yes.
Okay, vocal in the bedroom. Okay, this is awesome. All right.
I think for me, and I've been trying to figure out how to put this into words, but it's like to determine if I'm ready to get back out there.
Okay.
Like, I guess if there's a line of questioning, I guess, that I can ask myself, or ways that I can sit with myself and understand, like, is this something that I want? Like, essentially, and we'll get into this, but I have this, like, friend that I've been seeing for a while, very low stakes situation, but it's starting to feel like it's less fulfilling. So I'm wondering if I need to get out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Like, is that something that I'm ready to do?
Okay.
And how do I go about that?
This All is right. news to us. Breaking right. news.
Breaking news. Yeah.
Okay, Chelsea, tell me everything.
Well, I'm in a relationship, so mine would probably be just like feeling sexier, like myself. So I know he thinks I'm sexy, but like me feeling sexy and not like laughing every time I have sex.
Okay. Why don't we start with, well, I wrote down Sade first. So when you say more vocal in the bedroom, are you in a relationship right now?
So I recently got out of a relationship in October and I literally jumped right back in. Like, I think we broke up on a Wednesday. I was sleeping with someone on a Friday. But I'm that kind of person, like, get over, get under. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, that was amazing. I did a really good job. Like, I didn't feel weird. And then I started seeing this one guy a little bit more consistently. But, like, the sex is not my fave. Mm-hmm. He also just got out of a relationship. So I feel like he's doing stuff to me that he did to his ex.
That's what they do.
If that's the case, the girl had interesting taste.
Can you give me an example?
Absolutely. He will literally stick his entire tongue inside of my mouth. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, so I'll indulge and I'll kind of like do like a tongue thing back. But I've multiple times been like, oh, wow, you really like tongue. I'm like, tongue is very new for me. But I can't like explicit. It's hard for me to explicitly okay. say, like, I hate when you stick your whole tongue inside of my mouth.
Okay. You start to kiss and he like opens his mouth and he just like sticks it
yes.
in.
Yes. Wow. It is the weirdest shit ever.
Right. Right. That is weird. Okay. Well, kissing we can solve. Are there other things you want in the bedroom? Kissing, I've got a good hack for you. But is it to go down on you if you're into that kind of thing? Is
That could be happening way more frequently
yes.
For my liking, definitely. Okay. I'm okay. usually always kind of like hinting my way there. Also, he finishes really fast.
Oh, okay. Wow, we got it all. Okay, so Peter is a little bit premature. He leaves the party before it's getting started.
Right.
Right.
But
okay.
the reason I keep coming back is because he's really hot. Like, he's so good to look at. It's just like... Mm.
Was your last relationship, were your needs fulfilled and it was really great sex?
Oh my God, yes.
Okay. So it was just passionate and you knew what you wanted. So here's the good news is that, first of all, you nailed it that most men, and I'm going to say men because typically for women, and this is what I want to, by the end of this, I hope you guys feel that you are in charge of your own sexuality and mm-hmm. that I give you permission and tools to be able to ask for what you want. That guys who don't have a lot of experience communicating about sex, which is, by the way, the majority of them, not just men in their 20s. Like, I've been with men in their 40s. I used to think, oh, yeah, 30s, they're all going to do it. They don't, unless they've had a partner. Mm. Either A, they've had a partner who actually guided them in a healthy way. Those guys know what's up. Or they actually did research. Like, I think guys who've been listening to my podcast, some people like grew up, you know, been doing it 15 years. Some of them were like, oh, yeah, I learned that. Or they actually researched it, but there's not a lot of great information out there because mm-hmm. you have to seek it out. If they're just watching porn, so then they're going off. If not, they're going off of a past lover or they're going off of porn, which we know is not knocking porn,
Terrible.
But not an accurate way to learn about sex. So if you like this guy, my first step for you would be to have a conversation with him about your sex life outside the bedroom when you're hanging out. And you're just chilling. You're having dinner. You're having drinks. You're going for a walk. Like, whatever it is that you're watching TV. And you're just like, hey, you know what I realized? We haven't really talked about our sex life. And to me, you know, it's important part of our connection. I just want to know, are there things... Like, I just thought we should both talk about what we're both into. Mm-hmm. Like, what turns you on? What's your fantasy? I can tell you what I'm into. And then just see how he is with it. Because it's not a one-time conversation. It's a... ongoing. What do you think about that?
I could be open to it. It's funny that you were like outside of the bedroom. I'm like, when do we hang out outside of the bedroom? I don't know about
that. Do you talk on the phone? You talk on the phone. Right. No, I hear you. Especially the first few months. You're just having sex all the time. But you're having sex all the time and it's not great.
It's not good.
No. So sounds like you need some time outside the bedroom.
Oh, seriously. It's about time.
Okay. So then I want you to say,
just ask him. And he'll be like, and now he let me warn you all of this. He's going to be like, oh shit, what am I doing wrong? Like, the reason why we don't talk about it is because we're so afraid that our partner's going to feel judged or blamed or shamed. They're going to feel bad, or they're going to attack us and be like, well, you're not great in bed either. And then our biggest fears go down. So I think just saying, I realize I've never done this before. I've never actually been with a partner where we talked about our needs. And I didn't want to bring in the bedroom because it is actually, we think we should do it in the bedroom, like right after or right before, but then it just sort of alters the mood. Because you know when you're turned on, you're like in an altered state, or he just had an orgasm again and you didn't. I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but that happens more mm-hmm. with more frequency than we can mm-hmm. imagine. And I think coming from the notion that our partners want to please us, they want to be good lovers, but they don't know how, and so they just keep doing what they've been doing. Mm-hmm. So with that mindset of like, yeah, I just thought we could talk about it. And you could even say to him, like, what for you, babe, was the most, if you're in the babe zone, what was the most memorable time we've had sex? What was your moment? And then you're getting data. And then you get to answer it. That's a fun opener. Because we want it to be light, casual, curious. Like, we're talking about, like, where should we order food? And what should we Postmate? What should we watch on TV tonight? And that's where I want everyone to get to on the planet. But especially for today's purposes, I want you to know that it's your, like, this is how it could be and should be. And it saves you so much time from months of, like, not good. So what would you say if I said to you, so he says, we're going to practice. And I said, okay, he answers. But you, mm-hmm. then he says, well, what about you? What was the most memorable time we've had? It could be a moment. It could be a night.
Ooh, yeah. I definitely have that in mind.
Okay.
So I have this mesh bra that I like love it because it's like see-through, right? So I'm like sitting on the couch and then one thing leads to another. Whenever we're on the couch, like somehow we just start listening to music and he like lifts up my shirt and he's like, I really want you to dance for me. And I am like, yes, I'm a Leo. So I'm like, I will dance for you. Of course. So I go into like stripper mode but like I keep the mesh bra on and everything else is off. And he's like sucking on my boob through the mesh bra. I'm dying. I'm literally
so
dying.
So hot.
Then he eats me out on the couch. And I had just gotten the couch and I felt really powerful about christening it.
Yes.
And then we went up to the bedroom and the sex was actually so good. I think because we had like amazing foreplay.
Yes.
So I'm like, this is attainable. We can get here.
Good.
But it's just not consistent. Right. And I think the fast coming, maybe he needs like to be warmed up.
Yeah, probably. This is amazing. So you know what you just let me know is that you like the tease. You like the buildup, the slowness.
Yeah.
And our nipples, you guys, have the same erectile tissue as our clitoris, and it also speaks the same part of the brain. So the fact that the fabric running over your nipple felt so good, and it was like suggested, but it wasn't off yet. And then he was looking at you, and you were like in your body as like the hot woman that you are and owning it. It was so hot. You were like seducing him, but yet his gaze on you was also a turn on, and it was energy exchange that just sounds really hot.
Oh my God.
It sounded really hot. I didn't hear that story, Shade.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, I'm like pretending like I don't really fuck him that often, but I do.
Okay. So what it's saying is like it would be a lot better for you if you had more of a warm up.
Mm-hmm.
You could do not saying every night you're gonna be like another fucking striptease because everything gets old after a while. But what I'm hearing is it's slow. He's kissing your neck. He's slowly removing your clothes. Maybe he's giving you a massage for 15 minutes. You're using like a warm massage candle or like a vibrator on your back, teasing you. And you can let him know that that's like a vibrator. Best for every, all genders. Put
he
it on
literally
the shaft.
Just texted me and I'm like, oh shit.
Wait, I have a question though.
Yeah, of course.
Does it ever seem, because how long have you guys been canoodling? Chade, even the young man.
Since like November.
Okay.
Yeah, that's some time. I was just wondering when it seems like we're trying to like spice things up with someone who you're just starting to hook up with, if it ever seems too soon or if it seems like we're trying to repair something that we haven't even really started yet. And like, if it feels like, or like, you know, do you build a certain level of trust with someone before you start to do that type of experimentation?
Glenn, good question. Really good question. I mean, my belief, my philosophy is that as soon as you start having sex with someone, it's time to start talking about it. What if he kept taking you out to Mexican food and you're like, I don't like Mexican. And every day he wants to get tacos. You're like, I don't want tacos. Like, you would say something. You'd say, I actually really want Italian. Sex is the same. You wouldn't wait 3 months, right, till you felt safe. You would tell him. So to answer your point, it's like the sex is the same thing. You feel comfortable. You would start to say something. And that's how you build the real trust rather than spending a few months going, you know, just like kind of suffering through till you feel safer. But I used to feel the same way. I mean, just so you know, I've been through all the things of waiting and being performative in the bedroom just because I thought that's what they wanted. But I think the sooner you're into it, and you have to also know that when you're having it, you have to say, this is not a mark on you. I'm practicing. This is part of my growth. You could, a lot of people blame me. They're like, I was listening to this podcast. I was listening to Sex with Emily. And I realized we have never talked about it. And you could even say, I've never even really talked about it. I've never really done it. You could say that. So I thought, would you be willing to start with me? Because, and if you reinforce, it's not about you, it's a new thing. And I want you to come on this journey with me because I think it could really help every relationship. You're guessing what I want. I always want to make sure I'm a great lover to you. And you just keep reinforcing it because they're going to need to know that you're like, come on, what's up? You've never brought it up.
Right.
It sounds like you know what's felt good to you. And then he might answer, we don't know yet. Do you know what he might answer?
I'm not sure. I know he's really into hand jobs, which is so fucking weird to me. I shouldn't say that. Hand jobs aren't weird. It's just, it's rare. It's like a rare case for me, at least, that you get a guy that's like, I love a good hand job, but like, that's his.
It's like very, like, you're like, I liked them in middle school or high school.
Right, right. Yeah, right.
Literally.
But maybe it's because he's a premature ejaculator and he lasts longer that way.
I think so too. Yes. I'm like, there has to be a correlation.
Or because you don't give blowjobs.
Oh, do you not give blowjobs?
That too.
You don't like giving blowjobs?
Not really. But the thing is, like, I've sucked his dick.
Okay.
You said that so, like, not really, but, you know, like, I've done it. Like,
I've done it.
And okay, that is PE, his premature ejaculation. Has he ever brought that up? Has he ever said, oh, sorry, or, oh, I don't know why that happened, or it just sort of.
So what he will do a lot is he'll be like, oh, you know, like, I'm getting really old. I'm so tired. And I'm like, okay, because we'll have, like, I'll be really into it. And then he's like, ooh, hold on. Or like, we'll switch position. He's like, wait. And then sometimes, like, we might not even finish. And he'll just be like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm like so tired or this or that. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? But I'm not trying to be judgmental. I get everyone has their things.
Right.
But it's just like the combo of all the things. I almost am at this point where I'm like, maybe we should not have intercourse and you can just eat me out.
Yeah.
And I can just give you hand jobs.
Well, that's it. If you're not, most women don't orgasm through intercourse anyway.
I don't need it.
Yeah. Well, that could be it too. What if that's your agreement? And then he feels less pressure. You could even say, and I know sometimes like it's, you finish maybe before you want to, but so tell me more about this. Is there something I could do to help prolong that? But if that's PE is a whole nother, like I talk about it all the time. It's a process for men. A lot of times it's anxiety. It's a pattern.
So, wait, I have a question.
Yes, Chelsea.
If he like ejaculates early, if he goes to the bathroom and just like handles himself and then has sex with her.
He might be able to get hard again. Yeah. He might have a round two.
And like maybe it'll last longer. I don't know.
That's, some men can come again.
They couldn't.
Like my other plan. I don't need to be penetrated.
I like this plan. So this is, it's about communication. And then the kissing thing, my tip for kissing is you say to him, okay, I want you to show me how you like to be kissed. And then you're going to say, I'm going to show you how I want to be kissed.
Ooh, I like that.
Okay, keep me posted.
And that's hot.
Communication. It's all communication.
Dude, at the end of the day, that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited.
Okay, cool. This is fun. Okay. Any Glenn or Chelsea? Ooh,
this is very indicative of the group chat, by the way.
Can I join the group chat? I kind of want to, can I duck in? Can you have like an alt? Yeah. I'll come on your show.
We have spinoff groups. Oh, and please.
Do you? Yeah. I love helping women with this stuff. It's just like, because I want you all to be in your bodies and having the sex you want. It's not all going to be amazing for anyone at any point in their life. And it changes, and what you want changes. And so to have the practice, even if this isn't your guy for life, you're practicing. When we come back, I help Glenn decide if she's really ready for a serious relationship.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Okay, Glenn, let's talk about what's going on with you. You said you're looking for more intimacy. And I want to know, what have your relationships looked like in the past?
Okay, so Emily, my saga, it has been this thing with this guy for like 4 years at this point. We met in grad school and we're like friends, but it was this very like, I'm a writer, he's a writer, very cerebral, talking on the phone, all this stuff. We didn't even have sex until like 2 years, till we graduated from school. Okay. And then it was just like hot night. And I was like, damn, I could have been doing this whole time. I played myself. And so then we were just like trying to make up for lost time and we're like messing around a lot. And it's been off and on. I had a relationship. He actually like had a situation, had a child. So,
okay.
But they're not together. So it makes his availability now like a lot less. He's a lot less more available than he was before.
Okay.
But I still do see him, and every time I see him, he fucking blows my back out, and it's crazy. I was actually listening to this album that we are loving, the Hotels by Jasmine Sullivan.
Okay.
This great album. It's like all these stories of these women's relationships and all these sagas and life stories, and she has this song called Put It Down, and it's like talking about how this woman will just drop everything for this man because the D is just so bomb. Like, just dealing with just a crazy situation because the D is that fire.
Right. Yeah.
So, in part, yes, the D is that fire. Another thing is that I feel like I've discovered myself sexually with him so much because we have been having sex for so long. He's my longest sexual partner. We've experimented so much. I trust him a lot. So, like, I haven't really felt inclined to hook up with anybody else. There have been some one-offs, but right. I always feel like he's such a solid person to come back to, but it's not like I'm getting consistent sex.
Right. And intimacy and emotional. I know. I think exactly. I listened to a show where you're like, I don't want that. I don't need that. I'm getting what I need. But I think what you're asking is like, maybe I do. Maybe that no longer serves me.
I know. And I'm also like, do I need it? Should I have it?
Have you been in an emotional, in an intimate relationship with someone where it was like committed and you had the D and you had the E?
Yeah, it was also,
it was the D and the E.
It was a little toxic and crazy.
Yeah.
And the D wasn't good.
And the D was
very bad. Why do we do that? Why do we date men? They're like, oh, he's so toxic and the sex sucks, but I don't know what, he's hot? I don't even know. We do it. We just do that a few times. Hopefully you get over it. Then you dabble, then you fall back in. You're like, I thought I was done with the toxic.
Exactly.
But okay, so it sounds like, have you ever talked to him about, have you ever said to him, hey, like, what are we? Are you very careful to not try to define it?
he's said things like, you know, he doesn't believe in monogamy and all this stuff.
Okay.
We've exchanged I love yous and things like that. But it's very, to me, I'm like, it's not going anywhere. It can't.
Okay. Well,
so like, why?
Well, but why?
I know why, because the D is so fire.
Well, right. But I think you could find other D that's fire. And let me tell you this. It's not about the guy. It's about how he makes you feel when you're with him. It's not because his D, it is, yes, there's good Ds. But I think it's because there's some sort of comfort and safety where you're allowed to, Glenn, really be yourself and feel comfortable and safe. And I'll tell you, there will be other men that you will feel this with. So you're giving him a lot of credit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's more about your sexual awakening with this guy over 4 years.
Yeah.
And so I think that then there's like an attachment to him where you're like, oh, but he's, but it's, we do that. We assign meaning or labeling to them. But I think it's like a great gift what you've gotten from him. But I know we all dread having this conversation. But you could say, I've been doing more thinking lately and I'm trying to figure out what I need. And I hear you about monogamy is not your thing. And since I've never really gone down that road, I'm kind of curious about it. I make assumptions or I believe that that's not something you'd be interested in. Or can you tell me more about what you're thinking right now?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you have information. And then you get to kind of, maybe you will start to date on the side. Maybe you will start to dabble, figure out what else is out there.
Yeah.
See whatever.
I saw a tweet recently, though, that I want us to both consider, Glenn. It said, was the sex with your toxic ex really that good, or were they just starving you of any sort of intimacy in every other aspect besides sex?
That's it.
Yikes.
That's what you have with him.
I have a lot of intimacy with him, though.
Okay.
I do. There's a lot. There's a lot. I think it's just like, you mentioned something about the comfort, and I'm definitely in the comfort, and I'm just like, well, it's just so fire, and I don't really feel like I have the energy to kind of go through all of the hoops that is dating, really.
No, it's,
and it's a pandemic, you know? Like, I just, how pressed am I? But also, like, I would love to be having sex a lot more often than I am right now.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, that's why it's good. You could even say, if we reframe these kind of conversations, like, it's not even about you're wanting something from him. You're like, I'm sorting myself out, and I'm learning lately, pandemic, I've got a lot clearer that I actually might want someone who's more consistent and more available. And so I'm just letting you know that. Have you maybe, what have you learned about relationships through the pandemic? We don't know. We don't know. Maybe he'll be like, oh, well, I'm glad you brought that up because, yes, I want to be with you. Or, you know, maybe he's just defaulting to, I'm not into monogamy because it's safe for him too. Like, the reason we, you know, sometimes it's just because we want to protect ourselves. So have some of those healthy conversations and then start to be like, well, what do I want?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, I love it. It's communication.
Dude, communication is lubrication. That's it.
Oh, I like that.
I love that. Yes.
Actually, oh my God, Glenn, I had a sex dream about you last night.
Oh my God.
I was in my bed.
I was in bed with her. Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. So I slept over at Glenn's last night. We were all together yesterday. We got really drunk, but I slept over at Glenn's. And I had this dream that you were, because Glenn's a little predatory sometimes, and not in a creepy way, just in like, she could be very aggressive, and especially when she gets drunk, and you were just like being handsy, and we were kind of like tussling around, and then the next thing,
it's always the beginning of like, start fucking.
So then you and I are like tussling around, and then the next thing I know, you're like rubbing on my boobs and nipples for me. It's like, once you rub the nipple, I'm like, let's go. We're going for it. It's happening.
Oh my God, I'm
Wait,
dying.
This was the dream, Shade, or
this
happened?
Was the dream. No, this was the dream. Well,
okay. Well, just to let Emily know, just so you know, we've both had threesomes with Shade. So fun
you
fact.
Did? We did.
You did?
It what, keeps us bonded.
Separately.
Separate.
Okay. Oh. With another guy?
Yeah.
That's during the history of the podcast?
No.
But you've talked about it, because that's the podcast that will get downloaded.
We've talked about it.
Oh, yeah.
Talked about it.
But Glenn, I ate you out.
Oh, my God.
You were like, it was a lot. And then
Girl, I said to yourself.
And then I woke up in the dream, and like, you were beside me, and I was like, oh, my God. I had like a sex dream about you, and you were like, yeah, I know. You were being all weird. And then I was like, oh, I'm like, fuck, what time is it? Like, I missed therapy because I had a therapy session this morning. And then I guess I woke back up in real life and I was like, what the fuck?
Oh my God. Emily, what do you make of that? Is she in love with me?
Yeah, maybe secretly. Maybe you guys are talking about sex all the time. I don't know. But in your threesomes, did you guys hook up? Or was it just about the dude?
I tried with Sade. She did not reciprocate with me.
She's wishes she had.
Oh.
Repressed desires.
I think it just means you guys are close. You have an intimate friendship. And oftentimes our dreams are just more about, like Jung would always say, it's not so much about the person that you dream of. It's about a feeling that you want to have. And things get commingled, right? Like
right.
Different information. So I don't want to like, but I don't know. Could be interesting for the next threesome, you know? We'll see.
I did want you to invite someone over the other day and you said
you were trying to have us like do that again.
Okay, Chelsea, what's up? Tell me.
So I'm the relationship gal. And it's awkward because he can probably hear me. But we are in a long-term relationship. This is the person that I want to marry and have a family with. This is the person that I love. But I'm just like such a goofy person. Like, I feel like I wish I could like do a dance for him, but like I can't. I would just start laughing the whole time. And I feel like the time when I'm like the hottest is probably when I'm giving him fellatio because like I know what I'm doing. Other than that, I'm like overthinking it, like laughing because I don't know what else to do, but like I want to be sexier.
Right. Okay. It's so funny because what is sexy, right? Is it what we see other people doing? But like, I love that you're asking this because it's really about finding when do I feel the sexiest? So we know when you're performing, when you're pleasing him, that turns you on too. But I'm curious about your own relationship to your body and your sexuality. Like, do you masturbate? Do you get into your body? No, never.
No. So like the first time I masturbated, actually was because Sade gifted me a vibrator and I tried it, but like, I've never done it, you know, with my hands. Like okay. I always have to use a tool.
That's great. Say so many of us are in that boat. So there's nothing wrong with that. Did you have an orgasm? Did you have pleasure?
Yeah.
If you had to think about your hottest sexual moment in your whole history of sex, what's that for your hot, your sexual movie, your, what you fantasize about if you fantasize?
Well, definitely if I have like a specific like outfit on, I feel okay. More sexy. But then I just start like laughing. But maybe that's my sexy. Protection. I don't know.
Yeah. Do you ever dress up for yourself? Hear me out. Like in your bedroom, you got a mirror. Do you live with your boyfriend?
Yes. We live okay. together.
So maybe he's not there or he's out or you're in the bathroom, you're taking a bath and you put it on. And even though women, we've got things about our bodies, but hopefully, you know, we move past that. And how we move past that is just like when we feel ourselves in the mirror and you look at your body and what it does. And, you know, maybe you're taking a bath or you're rubbing lotion on and then you like kind of move for yourself and you practice and maybe you give yourself an orgasm. You're in the tub, you bring your toy, play your favorite music, light your favorite candle, like all the senses, you get all the senses going because you got like the warm water on you, your playlist, maybe you have your favorite chocolates or whatever tastes delicious to you. And then you're just like, wow, I'm pretty fucking hot. Like I had an orgasm, like take a mirror and like look at your vulva. And then you're like, oh, this is my power. Like it's in our body. We have to get it out. And then you'll just walk differently. You'll be like, I got this. It's just, that's why I sometimes, you know, they say like men pregame, but I'll pregame before sex. I'll be like, have my orgasms going, get in my body. Cause I'm tense. I'm like anxious, work, la, la, la. So then I just try to come down. And I like, before I even see someone that I'm dating, like I need to shower. I need my space. And you're living together too. So it's probably also harder. Cause you're like, I'm in my sweats now. And then I'm in my sweat. You know, you're just there. It's hard. It's a little bit harder, especially during the pandemic. So it starts with you and then exploring what has been hot to you in the past and why. And
I like that.
Any questions?
Getting sexy for yourself.
Yeah.
It's such a vibe, Chelsea. It's like one of my favorite things to do.
Do you take nudes?
Yeah, taking nudes is really hot. So when you take a nude and you learn your body, like I know it sounds, but all of it's awkward. Like we all have these roadblocks, but once you take one step and you're like, okay, I'm going to take pictures. Like girls told me to take pictures, right? What do you guys get from taking nudes? Like what's, tell. Yeah.
Oh my God. I remember when Sade and like another one of our friends were always taking nudes of each other. And I thought it was ridiculous. And I was like, oh my God, why would you take naked pictures of yourselves and have them on your phone? That's scary. That's terrifying. And then they like hooked me up with a photo shoot one time, and I literally felt like the baddest bitch alive. Like it was, I felt so fine. Like I was looking at those photos, like, look at my ass, look at my body. And if only for me, I don't have to send them to anyone.
Yeah, but remember when I joined and I was just laughing the whole time?
Yeah, you were.
Like, is it possible that some people just aren't sexy?
It sounds to me that perhaps the laughing is sort of it's because maybe you're uncomfortable with it. It doesn't feel like you, or it doesn't feel natural. Or maybe you grew up in an environment where it wasn't okay to talk about sex and it was always a joke, or your parents shut it down, which is very common. And so like they'd be like, cover your eyes, or, you know, so then, or it's a joke, or maybe you had older brothers who were like, I don't know. It's a conditioning, but you can undo it and ask your partner too. What does he think about it? Like, does he think it's cute that you laugh? I mean, I'm not saying, because maybe there's not, but it sounds like you're having an issue with it. That's really what it's about. What do we, okay. I feel good about this. Now we have to do a check-in.
I'm excited for your nudes.
Yes. Okay, we got to take a break. When we come back, I want to hear your tips for taking nudes. We'll be right back. Okay, so what are your tips for taking nudes?
Okay.
Yeah, tell
me. This is going to sound crazy, depending on who you're talking to. I love a themed nude. So I had this ex in college, and he went abroad, so we weren't together. So I made this like fake Facebook account, and I would upload photos just for him. So Facebook definitely has all my nudes, but
definitely.
Whatever. And now we would do a themed shoot around like a bunch of different things. So I did like a St. Patrick's Day shoot. I did a Valentine's Day shoot. I would do like just absurd things, and I'd have little outfits on or like in the theme. And it just like makes it fun. Like I think like nudes are fun. Like it's another form to me of like expression. Like you're just having a good time. Sometimes it's a laugh. I've taken like nudes being ridiculous where I'm like, this is absurd. But like guys just want to see your body. Like they want to see every nook and cranny, even when you're like, oh, I look fat, or there's cellulite there, or this is a problem. Like all they're going to see is how fucking hot you look.
Yep. Powerful. And then Chelsea, you said you like dressing up. So maybe that's your first assignment. You don't have to be naked, but it's you in positions in the sexy outfit that you like.
I'm going
to
try it.
Self-timer is clutch.
Oh, yeah.
Self-timer.
Self-timer is great. I really love also videos, doing like a little like 10, 15 minute little snippet to some songs. It's really nice. That makes you feel sexy.
It's true. I love that.
Okay. I am no face, no case. So if this is a new person, just don't have your face. So I keep all my nudes in a folder, and depending on the guy, I will crop, you know, like if it's like someone who I'm taking super seriously, he might get a full face. If it's just some rando, they get a crop, you know.
Yes. It's smart because people can track you. Take out the face. They don't deserve the face yet.
No face, no case. And if you're really feeling extra, you could do like a face tune and blur tattoos.
That's my issue.
No, that's smart because they do get out there.
Yeah. Right.
Not just Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook with your photos, but just our guys, people, you know, all the like revenge stuff that people do.
Exactly.
I know. I'm like, if any young girls are listening, I do not condone nudes.
Yes, really. I mean, kind of scares me. Trust it. Well, because there's all that stuff like on TikTok where they're like semi-nudes, like people, young women are being bullied, like younger than, you know, in their teens.
No.
Have you seen the silhouette challenge on TikTok?
I've heard about it. Yeah.
So it's like you start off in like regular clothes, and then all of a sudden the screen gets like red and black, and it's just like your silhouette being sexy.
It's hot.
It's really cool and really hot. The problem is these like techie nerdy people have figured out how to remove the like red and black filter. So they've seen girls naked. Yeah, it's really scary.
That's really scary.
That is sad.
Yeah, it's predatory, but
it is predatory.
And so, like, why go through all that work? Just go look at some porn or something. Ugh, I just don't get it.
It's the trickery that gets them off, though. But you know what's interesting about that challenge, Chelsea? And like the question in your intention, because I think right now on the internet, there's this whole like body positivity, feeling sexy in your own skin conversations that's happening. Because Chloe Bailey from Chloe and Halle, the singing group, she recently like was releasing some really hot, she did like kind of a sort of a silhouette challenge kind of dance, and like, whoo, the girl is bad, okay? And she inspired like all these women online to start feeling themselves, but she also got all this backlash from people saying like, why are you dancing so suggestively? It looks like you're trying to seek attention. Because she's always said that she's very like God-fearing and what have you. But she said that like when she dances sexy or when she is making music, when she's wearing her little outfits, that's when she feels the most confident. Like those are the moments that make her feel like herself. So there's so much power, I think, in having moments of sexiness and owning that.
Owning your sexuality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as Black women, it's particularly interesting because I feel like there's this hyper-sexualized like rhetoric around Black women, especially from like very young. And then it's like, oh, you know, body, big hips, big asses, big tits, like all of this voluptuousness. But then when a woman does step into her sexiness, we talked about this on an episode when Meg Thee Stallion made her now very famous song, WAP. Everyone lost their shit. And it's like, we can't talk about our wet ass pussies. What's wrong with
exactly.
that?
So let's talk about, because that was actually my next thing about, you know, your podcast, Black Girls Texting. What could I learn from you? What could we all learn?
I would say that we're just people. I know that's like silly, but like even just thinking about when I travel, right? I've been mistaken for like a prostitute simply because I'm Black. And nothing's wrong with being a prostitute or a sex worker. But like, it's just like those weird moments of like people putting something on you that might not be you. Like sometimes even thinking you're sexy when you're like the goofiest goofball like me, you know? So I don't know. That's one.
Yeah. No, absolutely. What do you guys think? What can we understand more? I mean, I
really
want to. That's
a good point, Chelsea. Yeah. I also just like that idea of like having our right to pleasure and without shame.
Yes.
Like, I think that like we deserve pleasure sexually in all sorts of ways. Like I like to indulge myself in simple pleasures whenever I can. Like, I just think we've been denied of pleasure forever. We work so hard. We're owed. We deserve.
Yes. Pleasure is your birthright. And so much of the self-care movement and self-love and sexuality has been started by Black women, right?
Exactly.
I think for me, communicating and having the open space to have communication around sex across races is a big thing. So like I am notorious amongst the group for, oh, Sade, she fucks white guys. But I fuck all guys, for one. But two, a lot of times I would sleep with men that were not Black and they would always be like, you know, I've always wanted to sleep with a Black girl, but I've been kind of like afraid and all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't need to know all this information. It could have just been an exchange. We could have had the sex and we could have kept it moving. I have been more open with some guys to like have the conversation and be like, why did you feel like you needed to say that? But sometimes you don't want to have to go through that, right? So I think it kind of piggybacks off of Glenn and Chelsea's statement of like, we're just people, we deserve pleasure. And like, even if this is like a little like fetishy moment for you, like really unpack that a little bit before you just go telling people.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's offensive.
I was just going to mention, Emily, something, a piece of feedback that we always get. People are always like, I can't believe you guys are so honest about like the sex that you're having and you tell these stories and they really appreciate that vulnerability. We think that's important. Like
it is
honesty,
important
getting those stories out there.
Well, I always say that to women, like be that friend that talks about sex. That's how we're going to learn. And then we can reinforce pleasure is your birthright. Like I do that with, you know, all my close friends. I'm like, have you had an orgasm? Have you asked for what you want? We think women think we don't deserve it. We got to work hard and then maybe I'll deserve. No, we deserve it now. And we are better when we have more pleasure in our life. So I love the work that you're doing. And I think your podcast is so, so great. And you guys are just have such great chemistry together. So I think it's important. Because it's not just sex. Thank you for that.
Thank you so much.
I know, because we're all in this together, right? You guys, I did have an email that I wanted you to help me answer. Is that cool?
Yeah.
To get your take? I think it's going to be. Okay. What up, Dr. Emily? I love your show and all the advice you give. So I'm a 22-year-old Black man. My penis isn't huge like what most women expect from stories or watching porn. I'm 6.65 inches and I won't lie, I'm insecure. I've had two encounters where I was making out with a girl and they said, is it true? This is kind of what you're talking about from your perspective. Meaning my penis is huge. I didn't know what to say. This happened 3 years ago, but I was in a relationship after these encounters where there were not comments, but I think those comments and questions have scared me throughout my relationship. I still feel insecure as a bigger athletic Black man. I don't know what I'm asking, but any feedback would help. Thank you in advance.
It definitely, he's alluding to that these situations where he sounds like he was with non-Black women. So that's one thing that I'm not surprised that that happened, but I can't front. I've dated Black men that were not like super well endowed, that were like very insecure about it and spoke to me about it as well. And I can't lie that I have definitely walked into certain situations expecting to see something and been like,
so you guys have that, because
we hold the stereotype too.
So unfair.
It's like what Chelsea was saying, we're people. So, and to the point of the last part of his letter, he has no control over his anatomy. That's just like how it came out.
Love your body and be with women who are cool with whatever they find and like don't.
That's the thing.
That's it.
I think like the minute you start to get those vibes, unless you're like, whatever, I just want to have sex, like just create the boundary and keep it moving.
It's because, boundaries.
Like, you don't want that insecurity to boil over into other things in your life.
Yeah. Are there any stereotypes about sleeping with white men or any other men, non-Black men, that you noticed?
Oh, yeah.
Question.
Tell me, that's the question. I want to know, what's the alternative?
White guys like butt stuff.
Like, yeah, white guys are more inclined to want anal.
Really?
Yeah.
All the white guys I've ever been with have wanted to have anal sex with me.
But your ass is also humongous.
Right.
Glenn has a really beautiful big butt. This is obviously a stereotype. All stereotypes, and we're just talking freely, and I can't speak for all Black women, but I do think there are like different cultural boundaries. So like, I don't know that many Black women that are having anal sex, whereas my white girlfriends, they have. So maybe that is
interesting. Interesting.
This is so interesting.
I will say, I wish we could have like one day, hopefully we'll do it, like a cross-cultural just group of people talking about sex, because I do feel like Black women are kind of repressed. Like, we're not allowed to be as free, wild, or else like you're just automatically like a slut and nobody wants you. Versus like in college, I remember like I was in a sorority, a white sorority, and all my friends were doing all this like fun stuff. And like, I didn't feel like I could do it because I'm the one Black girl. Like, I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense. Were any of you ever like shamed for your sexuality growing up?
I mean, everyone knows that I'm kind of a slut, but I own it. I'm like, hell yeah.
You gotta own it. I mean, that's the thing. I think in college, we don't know. We're so afraid people are going to judge us. I was the same way. I was so afraid of being seen as a slut. So I was kind of like a good girl. But I think when you get older, it's more like, hopefully you realize if I'm having pleasure and it's consensual and I'm my body and I like it, well then fuck you. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I took what I had mine.
Yeah, I've had mine.
I've had mine. I want you all to have yours.
I thought of another cultural difference.
Go, tell me.
In my experience, I'm not like allowed to go anywhere near a Black man's butt.
Oh, Chelsea. Like
I was watching Sex in the City and they like slipped a finger in the butt. And I tried that once and I almost got like thrown across the room.
Oh my God.
I have gone near Black men's butts.
You have?
Have been allowed inside.
Okay, see, all of these are stereotypes.
See, no, but you never
it's
know. Not.
But I think it sounds like there's something about anal. And I think for a lot of straight men feel like if something goes in my butt, it means I'm gay.
Exactly.
Right. And they're like, I'm already like a Black man that I already have challenges, right? Being seen. And so I think maybe that's why it's more pervasive. And I've noticed in the last few years that a lot of men, they finally are realizing like a sex act doesn't make you gay. Wanting to stimulate your prostate, men have a prostate, we don't. And men have killer orgasms. And there's also taboo and shame around it. And I think women have that as well. So it doesn't make you gay unless you have a partner who's a man, then you might want to be gay. But if you just want to feel good in your house, we don't judge.
My theory is no one's a zero and no one's a 10.
Exactly.
Everyone's a little gay.
We're all a little bit on the spectrum. We say that all the time. Everyone's a little gay. And we're okay with it. Okay, body hair. What do ladies think about men with little body hair? I like having no pubic hair. It feels cleaner. What's your thoughts? This is from Eddie.
Oh, interesting.
Be smooth as a baby. I don't want anything. In fact, the guy who I'm sleeping with had a bunch of hair and I was like, this has got to go. He came back like literally 3 days later, clean as a whistle. I was like, thank you.
Okay. No. Oh, so you verbalized that. Like you said that.
That's good. I did. She's verbalizing it.
Because it was too much hair. I hate body hair.
Okay.
I don't mind it.
I'm with you, Glenn. I don't mind it. And I also feel like when people shave it, it comes back all prickly and uncomfortable. So I would just prefer like a nice trim. Not crazy, but trim, but have the hair.
See, we're all that. Yeah. I don't mind about the hair.
Pubes specifically, when I've seen like a nice, like clean shaven,
it's
like
nice.
Bare, it's real nice.
It's nice. I got to say, I guess I prefer it, but I'm not like, oh, why didn't you shave? But
exactly.
But I love shedding. See, you're good at communicating. We just got to have it to go towards your.
Right. Depends
your
on
physical
what it is.
Pleasure.
Right.
Oh my God. Exactly. Well, thank you so much for being here. Black Girls Texting is your podcast. You can get all podcast platforms. I so enjoy your show. I think everybody is going to get so much out of it. How can people find you? What do you guys want to put anything coming up?
Yeah. Find us on Instagram at Black Girls Texting. Exactly how it sounds is how it's spelled. And you can also email us questions too. We have kind of an advice part. We call it What Would You Do? And so our email is hello@blackgirlstexting.com. And we come out with episodes every Wednesday.
Great. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you,
Emily. This was so much fun.
Thank you. So fun.
That's it for today's episode. See you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast. And share this with a friend or a partner. Believe me, if you got something out of it, they will too. We release shows on Tuesdays and Fridays, and look out for a bonus episode every now and then. Find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. And I've been told I give really good newsletters. So sign up at sexwithemily.com and don't forget to check out our blogs. If you want to talk to me, ask your questions about your sex life, dating, or relationships, email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com, or call into my SiriusXM show Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, and call me, 888-94-STARS. That's 888-947-8277. Get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. You can watch my masterclass on masterclass.com/Emily Morse. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.